The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Well, the other day I was thinking about what to have on this week's show, and I got a phone call from my friend Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. He's over in Vienna, Austria, preparing for a conference, well, a few conferences actually. The Commission on Narcotic Drugs has its reconvened 61st session. That runs December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Then there's also the International Cannabis Policy Conference, which goes on December 7th, 8th, and 9th. Michael is over there in Vienna. He's one of the organizers, and he called, and so I set up to do an immediate interview. He also had a colleague who's one of the other organizers. Here's the phone call.
Okay, so this is Michael Kravitz speaking, Executive Director of Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and a senior consultant for FAT, the Foundation for Alternatives to Addiction Treatment Therapy, Think and Do Kang. And with the great pleasure, I can introduce my colleague, Farid, who will introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Farid Gewesh. Nice to talk to you, Doug. And so about the different...
Farid.
Yes.
Oh, hey, man. How's it going? It's good to hear your voice. Very long time, man. Very long time. Been a while.
Hey, what's the label you?
Yeah, so actually, I'm part of that for sure, and I'm coordinator of this big conference in Vienna, International Cannabis Policy Conference. But I'm also part of the movement in France. I was a former organizer, initiator of the Global Marijuana March, and I also meet you during ENCOD activities. And so I have different caps, but then actually I'm in Vienna just mostly to follow up what is going on at the UN level. I mean, regarding the decision that the Commission on Narcotic Drugs will have to take next year, and mostly to follow up the process ongoing at the WHO regarding the cannabis plant. So
where do you want to go from here, Doug?
Well, let's go. Let's just quick background. The World Health Organization has been undertaking a critical review of cannabis and also some cannabinoids and also some synthetic cannabinoids for that matter. They met at the 41st meeting of the Expert Committee on Drugs and Drug Dependence. Just finished up recently. That was where they were to be discussing these. They have a draft report that's out. No recommendations yet out, but those will be forwarded to the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. And sometime they're supposed to be. They might, at least the CND might be taking a vote on whether to change the scheduling of cannabis. Do I have that right? And could you? Do I have any of that right?
Absolutely. So what we'll do, I'll go ahead. kind of fill you in on the World Health Organization situation, and then Farid can follow up and talk about this conference that we're going to have and how it ties into sustainability and the Sustainable Development Goals at the UN, and talk a little bit more about the process at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs.
Perfect.
But indeed, you have it absolutely right. I would add that this is the first time that cannabis has ever been evaluated to see if its placement is correct since it was put in the treaty in 1961. And in 1961, if you can imagine, the information that was based on was already antique in the system from the 1930s. And even the 1920s, and the very latest, the 1950s, and that was input from police, essentially. So the treaty is not based on evidence, and it's supposed to be, actually. And the World Health Organization is tasked with that evidence collection, but very specifically, it's written in the treaty that the World Health Organization makes recommendations up or down for substances that may be subject or of interest for subject of control under the International Drug Control Treaty. So cannabis being scheduled the same as heroin, essentially, in the treaty, has nowhere to go but down. That any real recommendation from the World Health Organization, and they've given us very good indication that there will be a real recommendation from the World Health Organization on this, any real recommendation would be substantial. Even just the most modest change would be substantial. So this is really kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I just wanted to point out that it's a process that's initiated by the United Nations, that the World Health Organization does, but it does fit in into the international law and then feeds back into the process. The other thing I would mention is why we work on this so diligently, because in the United Nations process, everything has to be done by absolute unanimous consensus. And that's why it's so difficult and almost impossible to really amend the treaties in a substantial way. But this process, where the World Health Organization comes in and makes recommendations, that just requires a majority vote. So we feel like this is actually doable. We can actually get through the commission and succeed with that. So that's essentially where we're at, where we should get the results back on the full critical review from the World Health Organization within a week or so. And they promised in the beginning of December. And I think what they're looking for is to be able to send over that letter that they do from the Director General of the World Health Organization to the Secretary General of the UN, telling them that they've completed the process, kind of pomp and circumstance. And there'll be a little bit of a hint, I'm sure, as to what they're going to be doing in Vienna in March in that letter. But still, there's a lot of unknowns. They've said that CBD is not a subject of concern and in its pure form shouldn't be scheduled at all in the treaty. But we don't know how they're going to actually say that to the commission. And, of course, like I said, there's such a wide variety of different options that they could take with regard to cannabis. I don't envy them their process there. It must be pretty arduous. And one last thing I guess I'll mention is we've worked through this process from beginning to end. We've given a great deal of input. When I say we, the entire cannabis movement and industry around cannabis and many, many interested groups from patients to indigenous peoples and other have given input. And that input was well considered, and the experts are just that, real experts, and we've gotten every indication that they're taking this very seriously. It's a big job, and like I said, it's ambitious. We'll see what they come up with, but we have a little bit of faith that they're working on this hard, and I just wanted to make sure people weren't completely depressed with the system, not ever getting anything done positive. It's possible, maybe in this case, we'll have an exception to that rule.
Well, and just so just real quick though, we don't base our scheduling of marijuana on the international schedule exactly, but it does have impact. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration officially gathered comments from citizens, from people. They announced they were doing that a few months ago the CND. I mean, it will have an impact in the U.S. whether or not, I mean, even if they say reschedule or deschedule, we may not do it, but, it's... it's part of our process here, too. I'm sorry, so Fari, hey, yes.
Well, while you're bringing that up, I'll just point out that this recent stuff that happened with CBD, with the scheduling, based on GW Pharma's new product hitting the market, they initiated a National Institutes of Health review. They did the 8-point review. They determined CBD shouldn't be scheduled at all. They gave that input to the FDA, who then went to the DEA, who said, no, we absolutely have to schedule CBD because of our treaty requirements. And the FDA said, okay, we'll go ahead and schedule CBD the lowest possible schedule that we can, but they formally stated that they would leave themselves open to change that should there be guidance from the UN. And then here, just months later, literally, there's going to be guidance from the UN on CBD. So this is going to be fascinating how it unfolds in the U.S.
Doug, if I may just add a few words to what Michael just described, for sure, that's a long process. And we are entering into a kind of new history. and for decades we were waiting for this scientific assessment to be made on cannabis plant, on what is the endocannabinoid system, how it works, about how those compounds work, and everything now is on the table. And until 2015, it was not the case. Nobody knew about this at the UN level or even within the WHO. And so this long process now is entering into a new step that is historic, because for sure in March, regarding the recommendation made by the WHO, there will be a vote. So this is actually already a success. For sure, we didn't have this scientific assessment 5 years ago. Now we will have it. In a few months, we will see how the states at UN level are doing with this issue, and mostly because next year they have two major issues to discuss and to decide, is about the next UN strategy for the next decade until 2029. And here there is a lot of fights and lots of challenges that are related to the human rights and the death penalty and the so-called those issues that are not breaking the consensus. What is opposite the UN. And other challenges that are related to the coherence that the UN system has to find related to the sustainable goals 2030. And that's quite important to think about. So next March, we will enter a new world. And for sure, about the CBD, about what we are now, I would say, there is also another challenge for the UN system regarding the scheduling issues. It's not only about the cannabinoids and what we call the phytocannabinoids. It's more about the petrocannabinoids and all the different mimetic drugs that are so-called new psychotropic drugs, substances, NPS, and like fentanyl, that are mimetic to the morphinic products, but are 100 times more potent. And all those issues related to the new psychoactive substances are quite big, because you see, for one century we quite prohibited cannabis because we don't have real scientific assessment on it. But nowadays there is many, many different compounds that are existing in this world that are not controlled. And within the UN process, they are not able to handle this issue. So they have to, I would say, manage a new way to establish their control. And if they relax, if I just may use one word, if they relax about cannabis issues, like Michael explained, changing part of the cannabis scheduling, making it more coherent, it will be quite a big step forward.
This is portion of an interview with Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access and Farid Gawish, a French activist and organizer who is one of the organizers behind the International Cannabis Policy Conference. You are listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org. Now let's get back to Farid and Michael. It's a thing I talk about on this show quite a lot. The CND process is opaque, and it's intentional. It's not technology. It's not rules. There is no reason for it except trying to maintain that opacity. They do not want the process to be transparent. They do not want people to understand or to follow the stuff. And that's really why, you know, I mean, I wish I had the travel budget and I could be there myself. And I'm glad that we have the ability to talk because I think this is important stuff. And I'm grateful to heavens that to both of you, to Fareed and to Michael, I'm very grateful to you for participating and for talking about what's going on there. Because, I mean, light is a great disinfectant. And this UN process needs some disinfecting. There's no question. So now I do want to find out more about the conference, the ICPC, International Cannabis Policy Conference. I'm getting that part right, right?
Right. ICPC, yep. In Vienna at the Austria Center, it's this massive, beautiful, brand new complex that's almost connected to the UN Center. It's just separated by a wall, basically, between the United Nations Vienna International Center and the Austria Event Center, where we're going to be. Really beautiful place. What we're going to actually do, we're bringing our main activists inside the UN on Friday, and we're going to have our own little private lunch meeting there inside the UN and talk about strategy, talk about some of these issues surrounding cannabis and sustainability and working with the CND and all. And then that night, we're going to have a reception where we're hoping to engage as many of the diplomats as we can from the commission process for the next day, which would be the 8th and 9th of December, where we're going to have our conference. And I'll let Paris take it away from there.
Yeah, on Saturday morning, we will start with, I would say, the opening panel with my friend Michael. We will open the ceremony. And then we will enter quite in a big, big issue because we will talk about sustainable development, about the climate change, about the new materials that are needed to challenge those issues. And we are sure that lots of the speakers that are actually programmed that are coming also some on Friday, but on even on Sunday, we will have quite good panels, and I request you to go on the website and to have a proper image of the quality of the speakers. And I would say also, en français, we said la crème de la crème. So that's a good image. The highest profile, the people that has a very long engagement, like we are doing. And what is important is that we try to merge not only a conference but also an exhibition and a kind of fair. And so we will also open the floor to entrepreneurs, to those stakeholders that are now part of the reality of what we call the market, and this big word to say that it's part of the reality, and there is a lot of people that are now engaged with a lot of money into different industries. That's not even to talk about the big money in the medical marijuana. We also have the sponsorship of those who are trying to develop the textile or even the food supplement related to the hemp industries. And so all those stakeholders, from the entrepreneur to the researchers, from the those who are physicians and are daily dealing with the patient, but also the patient that will also be there presented with Hanjo Grotenermann, who is the president of the International Association for Cannabis, Medical Cannabis, and IACM.
Yes.
And so we will have all those high profile, and this conference is also at this date, program at this date, because of the UN CND recommendation, but also because we are just next to the Human Rights Declaration Day. And this year it will be the 70th anniversary of this declaration. And I guess that our event will also be unique and historic, as well as we are now entering into a kind of unique and historic process regarding cannabis scheduling at international level.
So now, how do folks find out about the conference, just in case? Are the Think and Do Tank website is fAAAT.net, or am I misremembering?
That's correct.
fAAAT.net.
Excellent.
And the conference is right there, / conference. You see the link right there on the main page.
Right on. Hopefully you'll be posting some of the content that's a, like I say, I don't have a travel budget anymore, but gosh, I wish I could be there.
Join our event on Facebook.
Yeah, join our event on Facebook,
and follow our conference page, and Instagram, and Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, all the social media.
Yeah, and we will live stream those panel sessions for those who are no means, and they can't afford to come to Vienna. It's quite difficult, we can imagine, to come to the UN buildings and city in Vienna. But then this venue is quite very well. Yeah, there is good material, so we will have a nice broadcast on Facebook, so and other social media, and I guess that lots of people will also share this this opportunity to follow all those very nice speakers. And
Fareed, if you've got another minute, since I've got you on the phone, could you talk to me about drug policy in France, about drug policy reform and drug policy in France? What kind of stuff are you working on, and what are some of the things you think people should people know
about France? It's quite complicated because my country is now supposed to be governed by a very nice, young, modern president, but it's not really the case when we talk about drug policy. We are in a kind of big standby, and that's quite not coherent to the image of being progressive and being very active and being smart. And so for all the year, since last year, in fact, the government should have issued the Drug National EU Strategy. And it has been postponed 3 times this year. And it should be released before the end of the year. And when I was leaving Paris, it was still not possible to get a date about when the new strategy will be will be released. So that's quite ambiguous, because yesterday I discovered that there was a big title in the French press about a new commission that has been implemented in September that was supposed to evaluate the scientific benefits of cannabis, but also the harms of cannabis. It was quite a kind of obscure new committee, but it's quite important because it's directly linked to the French authorities, the kind of FDA, the French FDA, ANSM. And so So this committee yesterday said, oh, we should consider that cannabis as a medicine can have some value for the patient. And then after they put some little comments for not being too progressive, but they recognize there the right for patient to have access to cannabis for any kind of support related to their health. And so that's quite a big issue because in 2013, there was a French health minister decree that said that all kind of cannabis products that can be issued from the natural forms of cannabis can be found in into pharmacy as medicine as long as they have their authorization of being sold on the market, which is quite a big process also. But at that time, this decree from the health minister was described as the Sativex, which is, you see, we talk about Epidiolex, which is mostly about CBD, but Sativex is a mixture of 50% of THC with CBD. And Epidiolex, it's not really well done because there is also part of alcohol and some kind of
it's sublingual spray.
So the Sativex decree has not really been effective because Sativex is not available in pharmacy because the laboratory was not Almirol, which is in Spain, but for GW and Bayer. They didn't find an agreement with the French government, and still now they are. Nobody can afford to get access to this medicine. But yesterday, they opened the door to a kind of new policy for instance, I would say, for sure, in few weeks, maybe we will see pumping up some cannabis medical club, which will be mostly a cannabis compassionate club. And I'm sure that we will see rising those kind of initiative related to the support, and we will not talk about waiting for a kind of state or government agreement related to the use of this medicine.
That was an interview with Michael Kravitz and Vareed Gowish. They are organizing the International Cannabis Policy Conference in Vienna, Austria, December 7th, 8th, and 9th. I wish them all the luck. Wish I could be there. For now, that's it. I want to thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web, drugtruth.net. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh, and of course, also at Drug Policy Facts. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.